Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, November 1st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us James Flack. James and his family are members of Mountain Brook Baptist. He's in the 11th grade at Mountain Brook High School, and James edits the podcast. So I can't wait for you to hear more about him, how he got involved with the podcast, and his life and faith at the end. But first, James will read God's word for us. Thank you, James, for joining us today.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Today, I'm reading from Acts chapter 2 in the New International Version. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they had heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke to the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you so much, James, for joining the podcast and for reading for us and for editing the podcast. We'll talk about that in a minute. First, I want to hear a little bit about your family.
Well, okay, my mom is Sissy. She goes by Sissy. Her name's Edith. My dad goes by Hunter and my brother Luke. My dad is a financial advisor in Homewood. My mom is an RBT at Cherokee Bend. And an RBT, you basically just make behavior plans for special education, stuff like that. And my brother, he does cross country and track like me. And he is in ninth grade right now.
What's one of your favorite things about having a brother?
It's kind of like having a built-in friend. We kind of do the same stuff. We've always kind of done the same stuff. So we can always kind of relate to each other.
Okay, I mentioned at the beginning that you're in 11th grade at the high school. What is your favorite subject or subjects?
I definitely am a history guy. I've always liked history, and that's always had my attention the most, I guess.
I've heard that you don't even get like a lunch break. Is that true?
Yes, it's really weird. I have to make sure I get fourth period free so I can eat lunch. Some people just bring their food to their classes, but I think that's kind of weird, so I just don't do that.
So you do. You go to the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. How is the lunch? Is it pretty good?
It's pretty good. Sometimes I kind of have to, I'm kind of like, I don't really want anything, but I can still find something to eat.
Okay, what is your favorite school lunch?
Probably orange chicken or barbecue pork sandwiches.
While we're on food, is your mom or dad a good cook?
My mom is a super, super good baker.
Ooh, what are some of your favorite treats?
Definitely good old chocolate chip cookies. She's really good at making blondies. She's really good at making cakes. She always makes us birthday cakes.
That's fun. When is your birthday?
It was October 7th.
And you're 16? 17.
17.
So are you starting to think about college?
I am. I'm going on one of my first college tours the week before Thanksgiving. I'm going to go see Mercer.
How did you get into running and what keeps you going?
So I started out, I used to play basketball, and in seventh grade, my mom thought it would be a good idea to do cross country, you know, to keep in shape and for basketball and stuff. And I really just went all into running and it stuck, and I've always done it and I've started really liking it in the last few years.
Okay. Now I know that you do cross country and also indoor track and you're on something called the distance team. Is that correct?
For track.
Tell us about that.
So in the fall we do cross country. That's like 5K and stuff for indoor track and outdoor track. There's the sprinters and, you know, the field event people. And then there's the distance team. We kind of do like the 800 meter, the 1600 meter, the 3200. Stuff like that, like the longer events.
Do you think a lot about running?
Yes. Okay. I've been thinking about it a lot, yeah.
What are some of the things you've learned about endurance or personal records or form? Anything that you can teach us about running?
You really get what you put in. If you don't run a lot, then you're not going to really get fast. You need to put in the miles and stuff, and you need to kind of be mindful and get good sleep and stuff like that.
When you're in a race, what's going through your mind?
It kind of depends. Sometimes I'm not really thinking about anything, you know, I'm just moving my legs. And sometimes I'm trying to keep my breathing under control, you know, try and last as long as I can at a certain pace and kind of just survive.
Do you ever go out on a run just for pleasure, or are you always thinking about training? for cross country?
It's kind of both. I have been tending to think less about me getting better. I kind of just have grown to like running more. I kind of feel bad if I don't run some days, like when I'm off and I just don't run. I don't really feel good sometimes.
Let's talk a little bit about the podcast. So a little bit of background is that one day I was talking with Wayne about needing someone to edit because James Spann went to college. And he said, well, what about James Flack? So I reached out to you, James, right?
Yes.
And we got together and I introduced him to the program that we use, and the rest is history. So James, what is it like to edit the podcast?
So she sends me the recordings and I go into GarageBand and I edit them up. I make it sound good. Then I put the music on and I make everything line up, and then I export it and then I just upload it.
Okay, this might be a little bit of an unfair question, but do you like anything about that job? Is it fun? Have you learned anything?
Yeah, I actually used to like be all into videos and stuff. I used to edit videos and I haven't been doing that recently, but this has been like a nice way to still do it kind of. It's a nice way to wind down after some schoolwork when I get home sometimes.
It's a lot though. Sometimes, right? You're doing your homework and then it's like, oh goodness, I got to edit the yes. podcast too. Well, it's a great help to me and I really appreciate you doing it. Let's segue into talking about faith. How did you come to faith in Jesus and what are some ways that you are growing currently?
So when I was young, my family used to go to Dawson in Homewood. So I was there for a long time, and then I didn't really know anyone there. I didn't have any friends, so I wanted to be somewhere where I knew people. So then we came here, and yeah, we've stayed.
When did you come to faith in Jesus?
Probably, I think I was baptized when I was 7 at Dawson.
Did Dr. Fenton baptize
yes,
you?
Yes, it was Dr. Fenton. He dedicated me, too.
That's wonderful. He was just on the podcast a few months back on Fridays. James, what is one of your favorite passages of Scripture?
I usually think about Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That one's just easy to remember, and it has a good message, I think.
As you think about family and faith, what are the ways that your family forms you to love and serve Jesus?
My mom listens to praise music a lot, and she just plays it in the kitchen a lot. We always have big Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving celebrations, and they always make me pray there. They're always big. We always invite a bunch of people, and it's really fun.
So even just learning hospitality and gratitude is so important. As you think over your life, what are some of the things that you are so grateful for?
Definitely where we live. It's kind of hard to not appreciate it, but it really is a nice area that we live in. Also relationships. Relationships have a lot of value, and you don't tend to think about that as much as you should.
In Sunday school, what is one of the ways that you guys are learning or growing together?
We kind of do units with the messages that Mr. Splann does. We were just in Galatians a lot and just talking about passages and messages and stuff.
How is it being in that new space?
It's cool. We're still kind of getting used to it. A lot of it's kind of empty right now, but I know it's going to fill up and it's going to be cool.
What is one of your favorite youth events?
I really went into the youth events during COVID. I really liked Lake Day. I really liked Six Flags. Those were really fun. Yeah, I also went to a baseball game with them. That was my first baseball game ever going to. That was fun.
With the Braves?
Yes, that one.
Another area where you're involved is the stream team. How did you get involved and what do you like about it?
I've kind of been interested in video all my life. So back when Tim Sanderlin was still here, I just asked him, hey, can I be on the stream team? And he was like, sure, yeah, we'll get you trained. And yeah, so it's basically just maybe one Sunday you'll be scheduled to go in a room like during a service. I usually do traditional and you just set up cameras and you do labels and stuff and you just capture everything that's going on in the service.
And then you also set up classrooms on the ELC floor, the Early Learning Center floor, for Sunday school classes every other week so that we can use those classrooms. I think you and Luke do that together. Is
yes,
that right?
Yes. it's gotten a lot easier recently with all the new things going on.
Yes, we have a lot of new classrooms, yes, don't we? Yes. So that's good. For a while, you guys were converting maybe 12 or 15 classrooms for us to be able to worship. So we really appreciate your work there. We appreciate your work with the podcast and with the stream team. And we're just generally grateful for your membership here at Mount Brook Baptist. As we end our time together, would you pray with us?
Sure. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all the opportunities we have here in this church and in this wonderful place where we live. Please help us as we go throughout our lives and learn to grow closer to you. Thank you for dying on the cross to wash away our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.